is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. Other than listening to me, I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do, I'm happy that you're doing that, doing that you decided to do that, do with me. Right out of the gate, I want to get started with the shock treatment thing because that seemed to have us all up in a frenzy, right? And so I want to say that contrary to, I guess, the belief of everybody else, I'm not very sad about it coming back. I think, you know, for me, the math is very simple, right? We have men that are trained in the art of retooling, reskilling, and retraining men. I know Senior Lieutenant Delvon Duncombe is the consummate professional in my mind. He is a professional among professionals. He has been long active in the retraining and reconditioning of the minds of young people. He's been a long-standing Rangers instructor. And there are people all throughout the length and breadth of this Commonwealth, whether it is in Abaco or Grand Bahama or in Nagua or Nassau, that will tell you about their encounters with people like now Senior Lieutenant Delvon Duncombe. If you don't believe me, you can go and see people like the Honorable Travis Robinson, who too, during his time of molding and shaping as a young individual, came through the hands of a senior lieutenant, Delvon Duncombe. And so I have no concern in my mind about what exactly will be the outcome of shock treatment. Now, what I will say is you have to consider this, right? The military is a place known for taking civilian-minded people without bearing or deportment, without composure or attention to detail, and transforming that individual. There is very little difference between the soldier and the citizen except for the training. The thing that makes you go beyond your breaking point, the thing that makes you fail to give up, the only failure you will ever accept as a soldier is failing to give up, failing to relent. That kind of training, that kind of conditioning of the mind happens every day in the military. And so if it is going to be underneath the patronage of the Royal Bahamas Defense Force, if it is going to be under the tutelage of someone like Senior Lieutenant Duncombe, I have very few reservations in my mind about the program, and I think it will do well to bring it back. Here is where I sit on it. You know, many of you may not know, I have a brother, right? There are two of us. If you ask people, they will tell you that my brother and I are like night and day. What does that mean? It means that there are people that respond to different things in different ways. And so, yes, I am a proponent of the shock treatment. But I'm also a proponent of a program that fosters behavioral change in a different way, using a different method. I've long been an advocate for and a proponent of the designing of a chivalry and etiquette course in the education curriculum so as to teach behavior to people that come from homes where behavior isn't necessarily a taught science. And you say, well, they man, they pa supposed to teach them how to behave. Well, that makes no sense to me, right? Because I hear the people that are having a big hullabaloo about whether or not this is gang culture being visited to meet gang culture, et cetera, et cetera. I hear that. But when you go to college, don't they make you learn things like psychology and sociology and that kind of stuff and philosophy? And it is because they want to condition the way your mind thinks about situations so that it alters your behavior. I believe that we have the very same opportunity. And I believe, like I said to Desmond Bannister when he was the Minister of Education 15 years ago, that it is the job of the minister, and y'all could go check the minute papers or whatever y'all keep up there at the Ministry of Education. I wrote this to Desmond Bannister 15 years ago, that it is the job of the Ministry of Education to educate, but not just to educate, to inculcate. And so we have got to figure out, he ought to hold hands with the teachers down there and figure out how will we introduce into the curriculum that teaches reading, writing, and arithmetic, how will we introduce behavioral science? How will we introduce the kind of subject matter that helps young men identify themselves as the Mr. and the Mrs., or young women as the Mrs.? How do we identify, or how do we create content, material, that causes young men to want to say no, sir, and yes, sir, and eat with a salad fork when they're eating a salad and not cut the steak with a butter knife? And it's because if you teach young men to be gentlemen, then naturally the outcome of their behavior will be different. Gentlemen do not visit violence upon one another. The only difference between a Levin Miller and someone else, in most instances, is resolve. Resolve and the unwillingness to lose comfort. I'm not sitting in a box because my life has too much more value than that. I'm not going to the morgue. Well, not unless you try to send me to the morgue, then I may send you to the morgue, and then I go to the box. But other than that, because my life has too much more value than that. And because of my resolve, because in my mind, I can rationalize and think about, is this, in fact, where I want my life to land? I won't knock your dreads off, like the rap music suggests these days. So I think what Dr. Reed has created is the yin, all right? And there will be boys that need that. They need elbow grease and combat boots. That is what they need. But there will be some among them that will not work for. And rather than us bellyaching gripe about how, oh my God, this is going to do nothing except for make the people them bitter and you're going to embarrass people. Well, first of all, the boys can't volunteer themselves. The system is involuntary in them. As far as I heard, the parent had to volunteer the child. And so if a parent of the child who, according to the law, has the best interests of the child, especially if we're talking about the mother in this patriarchal society that y'all continue to say exists. If we're talking about, the mommy can send the child to do anything. So if Beulah may sign up her son for Dr. Reed them to slap him around a little bit in hopes that knocks him into line, then who are you? Who are you or me or anyone else to say that this is improper? And I hear this one bunch of the science. I keep telling y'all. The problem with a lot of this science is it for white people. This stuff that you all keep going on with these international rules, and they do not culturally align with us. They just do not fit into the teeth and grooves of what the Bahamian society is. It's not necessarily white people. They could be for some people that listen to white people. But there is a culture here. And with all policy, you have to consider the culture of the people. I say the same thing every single time. So yes, let's fund the shock treatment. But let us also go down to the Butylian Association of the Bahamas, find Helson Ambrose and his Barnumen that have been running the Gentleman's Club underneath the tutelage of Dr. Judson Enius for 1,000 years, and make them formulate a national program that will add to the curriculum. And rather than sending the boys in the yard to detention, and rather than sending them to go plant onion, make all of the troubled boys. See, because what the Gentlemen's Club does in the Bahamas is it picks out young men with a GPA of about 2.7, I think it is. Those young men are going to survive in any event. I want Pookie and Pookie Jr. Oh, well, Pookie Jr. is Pookie Jr. because Pookie is his daddy. So Pookie Jr., I want Pookie Jr. to sign up to come. And we're going to take him out of uniform and we're going to make him wear clothes, business attire. And he comes to school in business attire and we partner with one, whoever around here because these people like to give away stuff. And that way, Pookie is standing out from the rest of his school. Pookie now, no one calls him by his name. He wears a nameplate that says Mr. Pookie. And we begin to condition his mind in a gentler way or in a more genteel way. So we don't have to worry about all of the people that now care about a little ruffian behavior, you know, being visited upon. But we do this thing to people that want to join the military all the time. You think all the people that the Royal Bahamas Defense Force generates, all you think all of them come there as upstanding law-abiding fellas? No. Especially under the Second Chance program. Some of them fellas was one breath of air away from Fox Hill Prison. But we found them. We put the hands of law and order around them and wrapped them so tight that they could not otherwise maneuver except for within the parameters that has been set for them by the organization. And that's what has to happen to Pookie them. Pookie Ma can't get him to go on to the virtual. You think she could get him to behave? And so, I want to say congratulations to Dr. Carla Shreed. They hate me all the time. That's fine. I want to say congratulations to Dr. Carla Shreed. And I want to say congratulations to the Minister of National Security for considering bringing back the shock treatment. All right. I want to recommend that you all also put the morgue on the stop and make sure they see what gunshot victims look like. And don't say that it is terrible to do that, because when I joined the Defense Force, you all make me go on in the morgue. Ain't nothing happened to me. I feel fine, I think. I can ask the people around me how they feel, but see, a lot of these fellas, they've played these Call of Duty and what is the other thing? Miami Vice. They played them so much that they no longer associate squeezing a trigger with death. And so you take them to the morgue and let the smell of death fill their lungs. And I can tell you something right now. Death does be on your tongue. When you smell death, it lathers your you can't get the taste of death out of your mouth for days. And you need to let them witness that. So when you out here, you Pookie and Shorter Blacks and Pookie, when you're all out here squeezing triggers, this is the end result. Don't put that on TV though. But I'm saying that drastic times call for drastic measures. This is the views and opinions of Levin Miller. I promise you, right? But I don't want us to over mamby pamby this thing too much, man. All right? Like I said, there has to be a yin, and then there must be a yang. And for the fellas that you identify that may not work for, then please introduce them to the yang, and let Helson Ambrose them teach them how to tie bow tie and wear scissors tail. Either way, we need to save these boys, and that is what the end result has to be. All right, so that's where I stand on it. You don't need to ask me about it because I just told you about it. And while you're at it, because I want to say this, the Ministry of Education has issued a release over the weekend on a Saturday. I don't know who typed this. Who typed this? Because the whole ministry is supposed to be home. It's Saturday, right? So they've issued a statement, and I want to make sure I read it because I don't want them to say I lie on them. The Ministry of Education has issued a statement suggesting that schools will be closed and that there will be no report card. And that there will be no end-of-term exam. And now I want to know what Pookie them been to school for, because this don't sound like school to me no more. This actually sounds like daycare now, right? If all you do is go on to school to sit down and don't take no exam, you might as well sleep and eat fruit cocktail the whole time you was there. What did you go for? Why did you even come on the LMS? Why were parents like me waking up every morning to ensure that you had internet and making sure that you was in class? Like, what exactly was the end goal? And I hear the Bahamas Union of Teachers president saying that she agrees with the exams being canceled. But But I don't know. I don't know if we're reaching in the bag far enough. And so the statement by them said, press release, end of year school closure. Having engaged in consultation with stakeholders, the Ministry of Education, Technical and Vocational Training wishes to inform the public of the following. The final day for students to receive instructions for the Christmas term 2021 is Friday, 10 December 2021. The usual end of term examinations will not be held. The National Report Card Day, originally scheduled for Thursday, the 16th of December 2021, has been postponed. The last working day for teachers for the Christmas term will be Friday, 17 December 2021, with dismissal at noon. Teachers will return to work Tuesday, 4th January 2022. It is anticipated that students will be engaged in hybrid learning commencing Tuesday, 11th January 2022, subject to approval by the Ministry of Health and Wellness. Further details related to the engagement of students in hybrid learning, the conduct of student assessment, and new dates for National Report Card Day will be provided later. Now, let me tell you where I am on that, right? So we got shock treatment up and off the ground. Shock treatment, right? What now needs to happen? And if the Prime Minister's office isn't listening, or if they are listening, I invite you all to turn up the radio, because at some point we got to stop this cockeyed nonsense and come up with a plan. It makes no sense to have Belinda Wilson out here kicking and screaming, purporting or suggesting or saying or telling us that the technocrats aren't getting it right. And the Prime Minister started off wonderful because he said he needed a big cabinet because he needed all hands on decks. Well, Mr. Prime Minister, here is my advice to you. I don't know what you see in your advisors telling you, but here is what I would say to you as an advisor in the office of the Prime Minister. Shuffle the cabinet. This is easy. This is some small fix in my mind. What has to happen? You take Zane Lightburn and you send him to the Ministry of National Security. And you send him there as the Minister of State for National Security and Retraining and Retooling. So his job, because he's a teacher, is to create a program that helps people that go into Fox Hill Prison, because they're there for 4 years. Everyone should come out there with a bachelor's degree when they finish. And you send him over there with his teaching degree to formulate that plan. All right? And then you take him and let him work directly along with Delvon Duncombe them in the shock treatment program to ensure that while we are correcting the behavior of those boys, we are also teaching them something that will help them in the curriculum. All right? We got to shuffle this cabinet. This is just a small fix in my mind. So Zane go over by the Ministry of National Security as the Minister of State for National Security, Retraining and Retooling. Right? Then you tell Belinda Wilson, come here, I need you in this cabinet for 2 years. You go to the Senate. You are now my Minister of State for Education and face-to-face learning. So we know exactly what you come here to do. We ain't guessing. And then you let her answer to Glenn and Santa Martin. Hopefully those two like each other. They have matching bags. They could go to coffee, all kinds of things, right? As they work on the plan. And let them... And to tell Belinda, bring the 32-page document. You say that you give them and no one was listening to. You say that the director of education doesn't seem to understand the plan. No problem. Come this way. Bring the 32-page plan. You are now the Minister of State for Education and Return to Face-to-Face Learning. That's yet. We're putting it in your title so you know exactly what you just do. Because I'm telling you, there are so many things that I haven't heard yet. What is going to be the state with public busing? A problem we dealt with a year ago when children go back face-to-face if public busing is still at 50% ridership. Have we began to think about that? Because don't matter, you could open a school wide as Geronimo. If the children can't get to school, what sense it make? I feel a little preachy this morning, so you could turn your radio up or down. Let me just tell you what in my chest, right? So you bring Belinda Wilson, put her in the Senate. So now we got two senators in the cabinet, that's her and Michael, and just how Michael Halkidis does nothing except for consider financial benefits, I want Belinda Wilson doing the same thing. I don't want nobody who got a knock on no door, carry no ham, carry no Mother's Day card, no nothing. I want you show up to work every day to be the Minister of Education and nothing else. Cancel all your crews, don't go nowhere with your husband, cancel all your family vacation. We have 18 months to get this right. And we have to fix it, and I need you to come do it. And what it does is she should have the most seamless working relationship with the Union of Teachers in the history of Ministers of Education in the history of the Bahamas. they should love her. She give them everything. All kind of hand sanitizer, hand towels. She give them what they need, Belinda. That's your job. You came here to do that. And then you get on the phone and you call Miss Lisa McCartney, who somehow been running school from COVID one, right? We on the COVID number 6 or 7 now, and Lisa still got school running and no one dying over there. And you call her and said, here is what I need from you, mom. I need to put you on a 3-year contract as special, make sure you get the title right, senior chief advisor to the Minister of State for Education. And the two of these women together, who are very smart and very brilliant, let them figure out how we putting these children back in school come January 11th. That has to be the plan. And, Mr. Prime Minister, it would do you well because now you take the teeth out the dog. Belinda can't bite you if she in your yard. My pot cake don't bite me. He only chase people on bicycle. So if you bring her in your yard, Mr. Prime Minister, she is now yours. And everybody wants to be in the cabinet. Who doesn't want to be in the cabinet? And you say to them, ladies, I don't care how you all do it. You have two ways to go about it. Either you all start appointing some boards that will govern and manage these schools. Because how is it that SAC could be open? St. Thomas More could be open? Meridian could be open? What is the difference? The children are the same. The school setup is the same. The only difference that I can think about in my mind is that these schools are run by boards that pay a bit more attention with a greater level of specificity than a government school would. And if you sort that out, then hopefully, because I can tell you now, Pookie them in the Grove, Pookie and Blacks ain't been on no LMS from 2 Christmases ago now. And they could be the same Pookie and Blacks that can end up over by Dr. Carlos Reed. This is what we are creating, such a vacuum. And if we don't fix it by January, I don't think we will ever be able to fix this. And so you tell these two women, because these two women look like they very, very, very smart. Come fix this. That is what you need to do, Mr. Prime Minister. And besides, since we're living in this world where we won't give women everything, what a great look for the whole education template of the Bahamas to be in the loving, caring bosom of 3 very esteemed Bahamian women. Wouldn't it just be so delightful? Titillating, as a matter of fact. And that is what the plan has got to be, because we don't seem to have another plan. And I don't know if any one of the people sitting around the table have a plan. But Ms. Wilson has said she write up one plan, must see 12 months ago. I ain't hear back from that plan yet. And the teachers loved her plan, apparently. And I still ain't hear nothing from it. So the best place to put her, tell her, that's enough of that marching up and down, singing We Shall Overcome, placard and marker all over the place. You come this way. Put your hand. Allah did not laugh. Put your hand on this Bible and say, I, Belinda Wilson, do hereby solemnly swear that I shall bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, her heirs and successors, in accordance to the law, and that I should execute my duty without fear or favor, prejudice or ill will. So help me God, and come cross here, come fix this. And bring Lisa when you're coming. She ain't gonna need to swear, we can just give her a contract. That is what we need to do. Anyway. Let me open up the phone lines. 323-623-2325-4316-325-4259. You can call me on those. You can text me on 422-4796. And so that is what I think we need to do in order to fix this thing. All right? Because you can't take Zeno to cabinet. I believe he will roll over if you try. So don't touch him. And you don't want to build that kind of animosity in your party this early and you all ain't been in 6 months yet. You can't fire anyone from the cabinet, right? But you can shuffle them because it's yours. So shuffle him. Lost him over there in the Ministry of National Security. Him, Wayne Monroe, Carlos Reed, all them could go hold hands and figure out how to save man. Right? How to save Pookie them. They could name the program that and all. Saving Pookie them. And then you take these women here who seem to actually have an idea. And you put them over there and tell them, y'all don't come out that room until y'all tell me how to open up a school. All right? And that's y'all's job. And I need y'all to fix it in 18 months. Y'all got 18 months to get this together and meet regular with this Michael Darvill fella, because these children can't dead. I ain't taking none of that either. So y'all figure out the plan. And while y'all at it, call this next woman in this room, Jobed Colby. You said that the prime minister just could put woman in charge of everything. Call the Minister of Transportation and tell her we need to figure out this 50% ridership thing, because when these children bus out these house, Pookie Ma ain't got no car. He can need a bus. Figure out how to get them on the bus. That is why we pay y'all salaries that don't stop. And I don't feel like y'all thinking enough. Anyway, let me open up the phone line. 323-623-2325-4316. 325-4259. Call me on those. Text me on 422-4796. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning, Mr. Miller. How are you doing, sir?
I feel good.
Yeah, you know, Mr. Miller, I don't know why you like to disrespect the child psychologist, the sociologist, and those who would have spent time into doing the research to make sure whether or not we are headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, 28%, I gave you the research, 28% of participating juveniles are more likely to reoffend and commit crime than non-participant in this program. It's a proven fact. This program is in no revolutionary
28%?
State of the edge type thing. It's been around since the 1970s.
No, I'm asking the number because I want to make sure I get the number correct. You say 28% of the people that go through the program are likely... Well, that is less than 30%.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. 28% is a big number, depending on how much persons are involved.
Relatively.
It's a big number.
Relatively.
You cannot discount that.
Relatively, I say 28% is a big number. It's a big number compared to what? Because right now...
Compared to participants in the program.
But watch this. 67% of children that are born to households where they cannot identify their fathers become susceptible to crime. Girls, I think, are 74% likely to end up in lives that lead to prostitution and promiscuity.
You're preaching to the choir on this one, right?
I know. The question
so
that
why
I say
is
to
it?
You, hold
so
on.
Why, so if we know these statistics, why is it that we don't create a more effective program like amending laws to give fathers and members of the extended family?
But are they programs? I think I know the voice. Are they programs? I don't think they're programs. You're talking about amending the law. Fine. I don't disagree with you on that. The point I make to you, though, is if 64% of Pookie them, who ain't got no daddy, could turn out to be gangbangers, right? And we say, and we take the 64%, which now makes that 100%, right?
Yeah.
Originally, a whole 64 was going to jail.
Not necessarily, because you also have the gentleman's club. You could create programs like Students Against Violence.
And now you're taking my point, right?
So Yvonne Miller, that have a proven history of being effective.
Except
more
Cleaver.
Effective than the short program
except,
in your face type.
Except
situation.
As a product of the Gentleman's Club. You are talking to a member of the Gentleman's Club, right?
Yes.
The Gentleman's Club didn't need to rescue me. I was always coming in this direction.
But my point is, Mr. Miller, because we have 64%. Who are more likely to commit crime because they come from their single-parent home. We now know what the problems are that is creating these wavered and uncontrollable youth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Mr. Reid spoke about parental involvement, about getting the parents, holding parents accountable. Who are you going to hold accountable? The only thing they have for this 64% or 67% who were born out of wedlock, the only thing they have in place for the fathers is to pay maintenance. You're going to hold the father responsible, who doesn't have any parental responsibility to these children. So the only people who are going to be held accountable in this again, the single mothers and married couples.
And so again, I say to you, Cleaver, there has to be a yin and a yang. Let me tell you right now that I am an advocate. I am an advocate of corporal punishment. And don't tell me corporal punishment don't work, because the question I ask is, how did they keep slaves on the plantation except corporal punishment was working? One. Two. If there are people like me who don't ever want to be hit by anything at any time, corporal punishment or adverse behavior or strong agitation will curb my behavior. There are people, though, I tell you, I have a brother that is completely different. That will not,
right.
That will do nothing to him. But you know what would completely annoy him to the point that he adjusts his behavior? If you make him put on a necktie, and if you make him come here and sit down and drink tea in the middle of the day,
our problem, Devon, man. It's our problem. Do we understand that the first 3 to 5 years are critical when it comes to child molding?
Yes, and I think
we're gonna disregard those critical years, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna disregard, because many churches now don't even have Sunday school no more. But fear of God kept me in line, bro.
But, well, Cleaver, the fear of leaving Miller kept me.
Proverbs 27 states that we need to train, teach our children to fear G-O-D, God. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to remove the Sunday school, if you're going to remove these programs, would have an indelible impression and a positive way that can work. And come up with these programs that have been around for 50-something years where the psychologists already concluded.
But
2013, they've been conducting research and studies on these type of scared, straight programs, and they have deemed them non-effective,
so,
bro.
So, Cleaver, again, I say to you, right, and I want you to consider this, right?
Yeah. That,
how are armies and militaries of the world... Because technically...
Now, you're talking adults versus children, Levon. You can't mix apples with orange.
I don't disagree. Except for, we are still talking about human beings, yes? I'm not talking about a formula that they're using on monkeys. You're talking about the behavior of human beings. And if you do psychology, you will know that there are theories that govern animal behavior. Among those animals are humans, right?
Yeah.
If the theory applies generally, when you go to psychology, right, if the theory applies generally, then there are small tweaks that you make in it for children versus adults. All I'm saying to you is, I don't think that this is all bad. They use the same medicine to adjust the behavior of citizens.
One man, developed countries of this. I mean, why is it that the Bahamas always getting programs that developed countries have discarded and move on from the fact that it doesn't work, and then you now we celebrate these things as revolutionary in the Bahamas?
Well, I don't know if you heard the word. I don't know if you heard the word.
This type of program takes the Bahamas 50 years backwards.
I don't know if you heard the word revolutionary come out of my mouth this morning.
For me, has long concluded that it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe a 50-year program that's been around, that's been discarded, and have been replaced with more effective programs can work in the Bahamas, they're tough.
Then explain to me.
Then
explain to me why the same America, right, which is generally where a lot of
not just America.
No, but I'm saying America
done in Canada on the same program. I give you research done in the UK. So they ain't just America, bro.
Right, and all I'm saying to you is, have any of these people been effective in the eradication of crime in their own countries? I don't know if I see that. I don't know if I see. I hear these theories, but I think these theories are like mortar against the wall. They splash them up against. Do they stick? They sound really good. All I'm saying is it cannot be a brown paper bag approach. So while I applaud Dr. Reed and the Minister of National Security for their attempt, there are people that will not reach. For the people that will not reach, we've got to create a simultaneous program that operates on a different pendulum. So there are some people like me that I don't ever want nobody shout at me or make me climb nothing. If you ever see me running again in my life, call 919 first, because the fella who take my car have a weapon. Call 919 and then please drive in the route you see me running in and give me a ride. So if anyone asks me to run anywhere, you know that I doing whatever I need to do to avoid that. But there are people that will not affect. Those people need a different style of behavioral conditioning. And 15 years ago, I told Desmond Bannister that it was his job as the Minister of Education to ensure that we incorporated behavioral instructions in our curriculum. And he suggested that I go do it in my private time with my private money. I poor. I from Anglistan. Let me read a couple of these text messages. This one here says, that's the greatest advice I've heard. That's the greatest advice on Ministry of Education. Get this advice to Prime Minister or Clint Watson. This one here says, I do not support the shock treatment program in its current form. What good can be achieved by talking down to young men in public or private for that matter? They are probably getting this type of negativity treatment at home. It's easy to talk down to a person, especially if you are in a position of authority. However, it is very difficult to embrace a child and say, I love you and support you and want the best for you and train them in the way that they should go. Again, if we are talking about Delvon Duncan, Senior Lieutenant, Royal Bahamas Defense Force, I say I believe the life that the man has lived has spoken for him. You could go and check any number of rangers that have passed through his hands. I think the guy is doing a yeoman's task down there. I have great confidence that he will do all he can to ensure that we either bend him or break him. And when we break him, we send him back. And y'all go put them in the... Call Elton Ambrose then. Make them tie bow tie and thing. But this works. I've seen it work. I know people, like I tell you, that have come into New Entry Train and won Breath of Air from Fox Hill Prison. And today, they are retrained different humans. So you would have to explain to me, if the medicine has worked, what would make it not work now? This one here says, Levan, don't ever give us a slavery analogy to support the effectiveness of positive That's the best one I got. I lied. The best one I got is if corporal punishment don't adjust behavior, then explain how did slaves stay on the plantation. That's all I asked. All right, let's take another phone call. Good morning, Carly. You're on. I need to go to break. Good morning, Carly. You're on.
Morning. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Listen, the program, I think it's a good idea that it's being brought back, but I hope they tweaked it a bit, because what I would like to see, because you have young men who really need that tough love,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there has to be in the program, I'm not completely sure exactly what all this involved, which is different programs, but they just can't be the shouting out and that militant side of it.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be counseling in place,
mm-hmm.
and there has to be a redirection for the young men's goals. You understand? It don't mm-hmm. make sense going up there, walking through the prison, looking at it, and whatever.
Well, that's why I said, if you notice, I said, let's take Zian Lightborn. He's a trained teacher, isn't he?
He is.
Okay, so you take him, put him over there with Wayne, right? And because Wayne Monroe, he's not a sunflower to deal with. Like, Wayne Monroe is a very harsh man. So you take Zane and you put Wayne and Zane together and you say, Zane, create me a curriculum for people that commit crimes. And let's see if we could recondition them.
But Zane seems to be more in the area now with the vocational aspect of it, okay, for education.
I don't care what he teaches them.
When they're finished with this program, see, I don't like this idea, even when you come out of jail,
mm-hmm.
right? Say they call it a rehabilitation center, right? But mm-hmm. it's not really, because when you come out there, if you don't have catch up money for the bus, you walk,
mm-hmm.
right? If loved ones don't come and pick you up. So what I'm saying is when they leave that program, there has to be another door that they enter. There has to be a direction, that they want either a program, job placement,
uh-huh.
and a follow-up they see. They can't put these young fellas
but
back
you know what makes you less susceptible?
Unless you follow up on that.
What makes you less susceptible is retooling, reskilling, and retraining. And that is why I think this is a match made in heaven. Zane them obviously ain't figured out face-to-face yet. Let him go work with retooling and whatever it is. Him and Wayne and Zane. They could call them the dynamic duo. Wayne and Zane. That sound like that sound like a reform company. Yeah? Wayne and Zane, Reformers Incorporated. Let's take a break, Ali. I'm Levan Miller. Don't go anywhere. I see these phones, these calls on the line. 323-6232. 325-4316. 325-4259. You can call me on any one of those. You can text me on 422-4796 when I get back.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always. You're always covering me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
At Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the Solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with me. Levin Miller is here. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm on leash. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Let's go straight to the phone lines. Come on and call you on. Call you there.
Hey, a pleasant good morning to Levin.
Of Anglestonia. I'm great. How are you?
But I'm great. God is good. You know, I've been listening to some of the commentary coming in, and most people seem to just be focusing on the shock part of the program.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, I mean, I listened to Dr. Reed, I think, on another show this morning, and there are many other components of the program.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about, you know, working with the National Training Institute, BTVI, and other things. So, you know, I mean, shock is good. People, you know, some of us, we need fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that fear can be accomplished, I think, by different ways. People have different personalities. You perhaps may not be like other persons. Your parents may have talked to you and you listen, and so that was enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so that part of the program is good. And I don't want, you know, I'm the kind of person, I don't like to be embarrassed. Others may not be like me, okay? And so I feel that people are just focusing on the shock part.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a wholesome program. You're talking about taking them down to BAMSI and, you know, and doing an evaluation of them to see where the interest lies and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can save one, and if that one can go out and reach 10 or however, and where there is a lack that others will come in and fill those gaps, he's asking for people who will give their service, retired teachers and people like that, so everybody can come in and assist, so that, as the old adage says, it takes a village to raise a child. So let's all of us do our part so that our country can be better.
Appreciate you, caller. Let's read a couple of these text messages. This says, the military makes men out of boys. It changes your outlook on everything. I agree. My brother, shock treatment is necessary because parents neglect their duties. It is either shock treatment or BDC. The state has a system for the lawlessness, albeit minors or adults. This one here says, I support the shock treatment. We have to do something to help. Either this or hear their names on the evening news being indicted for some crime. This one here says, Mr. Miller, you can't please Bahamians. When young men getting killed or robbed, they complain. You send young men to shock treatment to straighten them out and avoid gangs and violence, and Bahamians complain. This one here says, concerning shock treatment, I saw an episode where female officers yelling at and getting in the face of young men. This only compounds the problem with these young men. It did not look right, nor did it sound right. Women are to teach the younger women, and men the younger men. Okay, I guess. I'll tell you, I know some pretty tough girls. I just want to tell you, I could think about them right off the top of my head. Anishka Barnaby, Jamie Claire, like them girls, they as tough as the bucket of nails, gun oil, and lizard urine. They don't mess around. So I don't know. This one here says, Levin, I had one son. I was young, but he never been in prison. Have three kids, never been in jail. I will beat him even at 32. I love the way mothers somehow still believe they could beat you. This one here says, why put Pookie in the gentleman's club when you can verbally abuse and humiliate him to right action? On a second note, RBDF has men that are molded by abuse. This is an abuse of the children and public resources. It's all about the money, isn't it? Leaving these are children and not men, so they should be treated as such. I tell you what, next time your child needs discipline, I will come to your house, take him, put him on TV, and verbally abuse him. Humiliate him until you would subject your own to this. Then, man, listen to me. I is the shock. My son don't need to go to no shock treatment. I the shock him. Matter of fact, sometimes I shock the daylights out of him. This one here says, good morning, Mr. Miller. Exams will be held in January and report cards will fall. Listen to me. Y'all go call Belinda Wilson. Put her in the Senate. Let her figure out the plan. Call Lisa McCartney and tell her, you and Belinda, y'all do hang out together and figure out how to put your own back in school. I don't think nothing else could work. Morning, Levin. There is now a new teachers union, but I agree. Schools need boards that can be more involved. This one here says, Mr. Miller, 16 schools still under repair, not available for students to return. How we could do face-to-face. See that? And a board will figure that out. This one here says, good day. Love your show. I totally agree with the layout pertaining to the public school. However, getting it done could be challenging. There are some persons who are employed with the Ministry of Education who believe they have been with the ministry for years, and so they might not be supportive with the plan. I don't know if you all see, Belinda Wilson is a British bulldog. Who over there gonna oppose her? When she get in there, she just flip over all the tables so they know, that's it. I reach. Now, here's the plan. I'm just kidding. But she doesn't seem like a woman that will bend easy under the pressure of resistance. I think the Ranger in shock treatment was awesome as a defense force officer, but only for the people who volunteer for that bad treatment. They need to double his pay. He was also cute. You hear that, Senior Lou? He could do push-ups and he sounds educated. Don't let soft fans near him. I don't know if you could survive. I don't mess around, you know. I mean, the senior lieutenant, cute, but he's leaving Miller. Come on. Would you trade that? What would you trade leaving Miller for? Let's take a phone call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Hey, good day. How you doing, Mr. Miller?
All is well. How are you?
I'm good, man. Brian, I just wonder if you just come off the cuff with this stuff or you just be taking with this BS, like the minister. Because you just be right on point. I just can't get it. Like, if you're paying them, why they just can't sit down over wherever they go, all these nice cocktail things and stuff like that, and come up with the same kind of even like thoughts. They have a built drink thing tank over there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyhow, like let me get straight to what I wanted. The shock treatment, I think it's good, but you know what I find it? Like a lot of the young fellas, they don't have no alternative. They don't know how to become a radio station host or how to become an electrician or how to become a lot of these stuff. So I even, like I say, you could shock them. But then on the same hand, a lot of them don't even know how to go get a national insurance card.
Right.
You know what I mean? So right. I think all of that has to be implemented. Okay, yeah, Pookie and all of y'all getting in this treatment, when y'all come out here, we can make sure you get some, all your ID, all your little resume put together, all of this, that. You understand? Everything
so,
you need.
So we can know your name, Gerald Farrington, and not Pookie.
Exactly.
Right.
You understand? Give you a startup.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually was telling all the people who come to my house for an election the same exact thing. These young fellas need, you understand, you need to have a drive where you pick them up off the block and say, guess what? We're going to have a little car wash. I need all y'all to make $15 this week. We're taking y'all to get your license. Then we're taking the rest to get your national insurance. You understand? Like, I think that will help a long way. Not only just taking them by the jail. Because a lot of them, they don't pretty much know about that. You understand? If they ain't know about it, yeah, I mean, that's a good way to go about it. But I think they really need to go. Not only I want to learn how to be a police officer or be a prison officer. What I got to do to get to do that?
What I will tell you is this, caller, right? Appreciate your call. A lot of these video games, believe it or not, were created to help with warfare, you know, like, when the war in Iraq started, they found that there were some soldiers that had a difficulty with engaging in combat. So they created these things to condition the mind. A lot of these young men no longer associate pointing a gun with the ending of life. I think you should take them to the morgue twice a week because the taste of death fills your inner jaw and makes your mouth swell up. When you taste death in the back of your throat, I believe that rewires your brain to associate your behavior with what is the end result. And so, I think the Minister of State for Education and the Minister of National Security together in tandem, because, you know, Wayne is rugged like a chaffin needle bush, and, you know, Zane, not so much. And so they put them together. I think we can come up with something pretty decent. I got about 3 more minutes. Let's go, caller. You're on. Hey, caller, you there?
Hello, yes.
Bishop Hall, how are you, sir?
Peace, my brother. Not bad.
You're
I commend you for your lifting the discussion
mm-hmm.
to another level. I commend the minister and Brother Reed for this idea. The only thing, and as you said, we could do the shock treatment, but at the same time, we also need the gentleman's club.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we did not get here overnight. And there are a multiplicity of things we need to do.
Yes,
and
sir.
The shock treatment might be one.
Okay, sir. Well,
on one of my trips to Africa, I remember reading of how they would reach the young men who were soldiers and businessmen that You know what they told him to do? Go kill a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a shock treatment for some people. I'm saying this thing is so out of hand. We need several things going on the same time so that we could reach our young black men. For some reason, the socialization process for white people is different from black people.
Yes.
We need a shock treatment. I commend the minister. I commend Brother Reed and all associated with it. Let's do it.
Appreciate you, Bishop. Thank you very much. That is the voice of Bishop Simeon Hall. You know, he's one of my favorite people, actually. One can tell based on the plan for the future education. I won't have time to take that next call, so we can hang that up. One can tell based on the plan for the future education of our children that someone or something is lost. Most of these kids were lost and could not spell cat before COVID. Judge post-COVID. And I think we're going to widen the gap, and that's going to be very scared, because I say this to the haves. When the population of have-nots swell, there isn't a gate or a wall or a candy cane stick tall enough to keep the have-nots out. And so you all ought to be equally as concerned, because when the dogs get hungry, they come to the dinner table. All right? This one just says, good morning, Levin. If and when the new variant gets here, who's going to be blamed when most of the travel restrictions globally are against the unvax? So if the unvax isn't traveling, is it then safe to say that the unvaccinated is not the problem? I will say this. I don't know who will be to blame. What I will say, and I want to say this as I go, dear Michael Darvel, please incorporate the National Health Insurance Authority into the testing regime for COVID. Why? If all I have is one day of validity on my COVID test, it ain't no way I could keep using the process I use in. Many people are going to be inconvenienced because they can't get their COVID test in time. All right? NHI got one bunch of lab and one bunch of doctor. Let's figure out how to put that in the fight. Okay? Anyway, that's my music. That means that's my time. I'm Levin Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the your station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. They have the news. That happens now.
We will be
this is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.